Okay, good morning, everybody. Today's daf is Yevamos Daf Lamed Zayin. We left off on Daf Lamed Vav and Beis, or we're going to pick up again, rather, from Daf Lamed Vav and Beis, about 8 lines from the end of the page to pick up back at the beginning of the discussion. Today's share is sponsored by Dr. David Landerer, in honor of his wife and children. It is also sponsored with Zchus Rufus Shleima for Esther Basara, and also the Zchus Rufus Shleima for Tova Bas Golda. Mishav Rufus Shleima B'soch Shar Chol Yisrael. We thank all of the sponsors very much for the sponsorship. So today we're going to discuss the idea that although one is not allowed to marry Muberes Chavero, Menekes Chavero, and there is this halacha that if one does marry Muberes Chavero, Menekes Chavero, Machlokas, whether you're ever allowed to be Machzira, but certainly you have to divorce her. So we're about to discuss, and what if you're a Kohen, where if you divorce her, you will never be allowed to be Machzira, you'll never be allowed to remarry her? Do we make such a Knas on a Kohen? So we're going to compare it to a different case. The Gemara is going to discuss whether the comparison is a valid comparison. Then we're going to talk a lot about a Safek ben Shiva la'achron ben Tisha l'rishon. If we're not sure who the father of the baby is, was it a 7-month pregnancy? Was it a 9-month pregnancy? We're going to get into discussions about Safek mamzer. Then the Gemara Namar Beis is going to talk about avoiding having multiple families in different places, that a person shouldn't have one wife and family in one place, another wife and family in another place, because it could turn out that there will be a shidduch and a sister will marry a brother and they'll have no idea that the other one even existed. And then the Gemara is going to talk about discussions of Yerusha in cases of a Safek ben Shiva, Safek ben Tisha. If you're not sure whether a child is a product of a 7-month pregnancy from husband number 2 or a 9-month pregnancy from husband number 1, so that complicates issues of Yerusha. The Gemara is going to have 7 different cases between today's daf and tomorrow's daf relating to Safek as far as Yerusha is concerned. So let's begin again back on Lamed Vav and Beis, about 8 lines from the end of the page. Amar le Rav Ashi le Rav Hoshaya. So the Gemara is discussing, according to the Shita of the Chachamim, that if a person marries Mu'uberes Chavero, a person marries Meinekes Chavero, that yes, he has to divorce her, but once the baby is 24 months old, he can then remarry her. What would be the din if the person who married the Mu'uberes Chavero, Meinekes Chavero, is a Kohen? Do we have any special kulas for him in order to make it that he won't have to divorce her so that he'll be able to ultimately, in the long term, be married to her? Because if he divorces her, she's going to be a grusha. He's not going to be allowed to remarry her. So the Gemara first discusses whether we're makel by an Eishes Kohen when it comes to Chalitza, and we'll see if the two cases are comparable. So Amalei Rav Ashi l'Rav Hoshaya b'Reid Ravidi. Rav Ashi said to Rav Hoshaya b'Reid Ravidi, Hasam Tanan, we have a Mishnah, Masechah Shabbos, that says as follows, that Rav Meshum Gamli Alomer, Kol Sheshoha Be'Adam Shloshim Yom Einu Nefel, that if a baby is born and survives for 30 days, so then you know that it's not a nefel, that it's a bar kayama, that it's a viable, healthy baby, and therefore the woman is not going to require yibum v'chalitza if the baby from her husband, from her first husband, survived for 30 days. But haloshaha, but the implication is that if the baby died within 30 days, and it wasn't a death from illness, the baby fell off a roof or was devoured by a lion or something like that, and we don't know whether the baby was healthy or not, so sveikahavi, we have a suffix, whether the baby is a nefel or not, and therefore she's going to require chalitza misafik. She's not going to be allowed to do yibum because maybe the baby was a bar kayama, but she's going to require chalitza v'itmar. And we stated relating to that mishnah that meis betok shloshim yom, that if the baby dies within 30 days, rachman al son, of being born, and we don't know if he's a nefel or if he's a ben kayama, v'amda v'niskadcha, and then the Yavama went and accepted kiddushin from someone else, from not one of the brothers, because she assumed, look, I had a baby, so my husband does not require, so there's no need over here for yibum v'chalitza. She didn't know that has a din of a suffix nefel when the baby died within 30 days, so she went and accepted kiddushin from someone else. So now you have a machlokas whether we require chalitza. Ravina mishmei de Rava Amar. Ravina says in the name of Rava that since Rav Shimon Gamliel holds that there's a suffix whether the vlad is a nefel or bar kayama, im eishes Yisrael he, if the person she accepted kiddushin from was a Yisrael, choletza, so then she should do chalitza and she'll still be muteris l'bayla, she'll still be allowed to stay married married to the husband, she received kiddushin from, but she just needs to take care of the chalitza issue, the imeshas kohenhi, and if she's an eshes kohen, where the chalitza is going to aser her on her new husband forever, then eino chaletzes. Then we don't want to aser her on the new husband. She made an honest mistake. She thought she had a baby. She doesn't require even the chalitza, so we don't want to aser her on her new husband. So she should not do chalitza, because most women, when they give birth, will give birth to a vlad ben kayama. The vlad is not a nefel, so we assume that she's muteris l'shuk, and she's not going to require a chalitza because of that suffix. We're not going to ruin her life. Rav Misharshi, Mishmei de Rava Amar, Rav Misharshi says in the name of Rava, so it's a machloka samurayim, what Rava said. Rav Misharshi is also saying in the name of Rava, where he says, achazo v'achazo choletzes, that even if the man that she accepted kiddushin from is a kohen, she's going to need a chalitza, because we have to be choshesh for real, that the baby was a nefel, and that therefore she really requires chalitza. So amalei Ravina l'Rav Misharshi, Ravina says to Rav Misharshi, bu'orta amar Rava achi, that in the evening Rava said, like you're saying, that even an Eishes Kohen would require chalitza and she's asura lebaila, but ubitzafra hadarbe. I understand why we're both quoting Rava as saying totally opposite things, because I also heard Rava say what you're saying he said, but he said that in the evening, and then by the next morning he had changed his mind, and I heard that Rava said that an Eishes Kohen can actually stay with her husband. She doesn't need to do a chalitza. If she accepted kiddushin from the Kohen, she could stay with him. So Rav Misharshi was not having it. Amalei, so Rav Misharshi said to Ravina, Sharitu ye Rava tishtaru aftarba. If you're going to be matir her to stay with the new husband as a kohen, it should be the will of the Ribbono Shel Olam that you should be matir chelev as well. Something that's so obviously usher like chelev. Tosa Rush explains that you were matir the chalutza. So what he means is not chelev. Tarba means that you're going to be matir even a grusha as well, even that which is more obviously usher. That's what the Ritva writes in the name of Tosos as well. That's it's a lashon of tarka, not tarba, and tarka is another word for grusha. So, because what does chelev have to do with anything? Why would he all of a sudden say you should be matir chelev? But he's saying you're going to take kahuna lightly. So, because you're taking kahuna lightly in this psak about a chalutza, you're going to end up being matir a grusha as well. So the Aruch Lener explains that no, he dafka is talking about chelev, because when it comes to the chelev that's al gabe akeva, the chelev that grows on the keva, the Gemara says in Chulin Daf Mem Tes that kohanim were noig bo heter. So he says once you're matir to an nation, your matir to the kohen, you're gonna help kohana be matir the chelev al gabe akeva as well. Either way, the reference is to something related to kahuna. There is a discussion in the poskim. Do you see from this gemara that you're allowed to be mekallel somebody that they should do another avera? That if someone does an avera, you're gonna give them the bracha you give them, the klala you give them, that they should do another avera. I mean, don't we all work for the Ribbono Shel Olam, and don't we want fewer averos being done? Is that a proper type of klala? So that's a question of what he really means by this. Is he saying that I'm nervous that you're going to be matir, or is it a klala that itaka should be matir? Okay, so the Gemara has been discussing a nefel when it comes to chalitza. Are we make a legabe in Eishes Kohen in order not to aser her on her husband? So now the Gemara says, oh, maybe that will relate to Muberes HaMenekes Chavero, that if someone marries Muberes HaMenekes Chavero, are we makel when she got married to a Kohen not to divorce her so that we don't answer her? So Hacha Gabi Muberes Chavero Menekes Chavero Hanesua LeKohen, if you have someone who marries a Kohen who marries a Muberes Chavero or Menekes Chavero, my Mi Ovid Rabbanan Takanta LeKohen Alo, did Rabbanan make a Takana for the Kohen who married the Muberes Chavero, the Menekes Chavero, and allow him to just separate from her without giving her a get, in order that he should be able to stay married to her after the baby is 24 months old? Or maybe they didn't make any such takana to be makel for a kohen, and he's going to have to actually be megarisher, and he's not going to be able to be machzir her. In Yosef Lekach, he asks, how do I know that the Rabban, where we get the idea that the Rabban were masakin a takana? Just because they made a takana for a kohen, legabe, a baby who dies within 30 days, not to require a get, we're going to say that every single case where it's going to inconvenience a kohen's life, it necessarily means that all of a sudden we're making takanos for kohanim? The Aruch Lener asks that according to Tosos and Daf Chavdal and Amr Aleph, that by chalitza it's not considered a takana l'kohen, because even if she has chalitza, she's not neseres l'kuna, she's only neseres l'kuna, so that you don't come to be matir chalitza l'kohen in general. But over here, if there was a get, it would mamish be an isser, so it's not even a valid comparison. But anyway, so the Gemara is asking this question. Just like we made perhaps made a takana l'kuna over there, maybe we make a takana l'kuna for the kohen who's machnis muberes or menekes chavero. So Amalei Rav Hoshaya Breid Ravidi said to Ravashi, Hachi Hashta, you can't compare the two takanos. Bishla Mahasam, I understand when there was a baby, and the baby died, Rachman Hatzlan, within 30 days. So I understand why the Eishas Kohen is not going to require Chalitza, Kivin Dikar Rabbanan de Pligi Alei, the Rabban Shimon Gamliel. Because you have the sheet of the Rabbanan who disagreed with Rabban Shimon Gamliel, Damri Afagav de Lo Shaha, who hold that even if the baby did not live out 30 days, the baby got killed within 30 days, still we assume Vlad Ma'al Yahavi, so we still assume that the baby was a viable baby, and therefore, the woman never required Yibum Chalitza in the first place, so they really never did anything wrong, and she's allowed to stay married to him. So you have the sheet of the Rabbanan to rely on over there. So when the person that was Mekadish or was a Kohen, since there's no other possibility, we have the Rabbanan to rely on. But over here, by a Kohen who marries Muberes Chavero, Menekes Chavero, no one holds that it's just okay. No one holds that it's fine and you can leave it alone. Kimanavid, which sheet do you want to follow? Iker Rebbe Meir, if you want to follow Rebbe Meir, Hamar Yotzi V'lo Yachzor Olamis. Rebbe Meir says you have to divorce her and you're never allowed to remarry her ever. I mean, Rebbe Meir holds that if you're Konis Muberes Chavero Menekes Chavero, it's over. You're not allowed. You have to divorce her. You're never allowed to remarry her. V'ikra Rabbanon Hamri Beget. And if you want to follow the Rabbanon say you have to divorce her, but you can remarry her after 24 months. But the first stage is that you got to divorce her. So there's no other shita to rely on over here. Everyone holds that at the very least, you have to divorce her. So what kind of takana for kahuna could we be talking about? Could we be making over here? And therefore, there is no takana for kahuna. So later on, the Gemara is going to tell us that a person is not allowed to marry a grusha or an almana unless you wait 3 months from the time of the ending of her previous marriage, from the time of the divorce, or from the time of her husband's death. So the Gemara discusses, what if a person is mekadesh, a grusha or an almana within 3 months, and then instead of being koneser, instead of going through with Nisuin, he runs away. So we know that he's not going to do Nisuin for a long time. So do we allow that to pass? Do we ignore the Kiddushin? So Itmar, Kitcha B'toch Shlosha, if he was Mekadesh, an Almana, or a Grusha within 3 months of the ending of the previous marriage, Ubarach, and then he runs away from the city. So Pligi B'Ravacha V'Rafram, there's a machlokas between Ravacha and Rafram, whether Beis Din has to force him to give a get because he violated this Takana, or maybe not. Maybe since he ran away and he's not here, we don't have to be matriach that he should divorce her. Chadam Misham Tinale, one says Beis Din should put him in Cherim in order to force him to come back and give a get. V'chadam Reiruke Mistaye, and the other one says that no, his running away is good enough because by running away he's showing that he doesn't plan on having Nisuin, on being Koneser within the 3 months, and therefore Beis Din has no need to put him in Cherim. Hava Uvda, there was a story about a person who was Mekadesh within 3 months and he ran away. V'amalu Rafram Eruke Mistaye. And Rafram said, the fact that he ran away is good enough. We don't have to force him to come back and be Megarisher. Good. Then we learned in the Mishnah that if the brother of the deceased is Koneis HaSivemto in order to be Miyabimher, and it turns out that she's Mu'uberes, and she's pregnant, and she gives birth to a baby, but Safik Bentesha, we don't know whose baby this is. We don't know if it was a Bentesha L'Rishon or Ben Sheveli Achron. Is this the deceased brother's baby, and therefore she never required Yibum Chalitza, and therefore when this man was Miyabimer is in violation of an Erva of Eishas Achiv, or maybe no, the brother didn't have any children, and therefore he did a mitzvah of Yibum, and this baby is a product of the mitzvah of Yibum, a 7 month long pregnancy. So the Gemara asks, so the Mishnah had said, the halacha is that he can't stay married to her, but the baby's going to be Kashrimi Manavshuch. The baby's going to be a Kashur baby, because if it's a Ben Tisha L'Rishon, so good, so he's the child of a father and a regular father and a mother, a regular regular marriage. And if it's ben shiva la'achron, so he's a product of yibum, and that's fine as well. But the living brother cannot stay married to the woman because she might be eisha sachiv shelo b'makom mitzvah. Samle Rav l'Rav Nachman. Rav says Rav Nachman, why do we view and we said that the yavama and the yavam have to bring a karban ashem talui because they may or may not have violated an isser. They either did a mitzvah by doing the yibum or they did an isser by doing the yibum. So they have to bring an ashem talui. So the idea that they have to bring a karban is what we're questioning. Amalei Rav l'Rav Nachman, why do we say that we view this vlad as a suffix and therefore they have to bring an ashem talui? Lema halechacha rov nashim v'rov nashim letisha yiladan. Why don't we say follow the majority? And most women, most pregnancies are 9-month pregnancies. Who ever heard of 7-month pregnancies? A very rare thing. So Amalei, so Rav Nachman said, well, Nashedi Dan, the women in my family, the Shiva Yeladan, they tend to give birth after 7 months. So it's not so crazy to have a 7-month pregnancy. So Amalei, so Rav says back to Rav Nachman, Nashedi Tchuav, Ruba Dalma, I don't care what happens in your family. We're talking about a halacha for Klal Yisrael. Just because women in your family tend to get to have preemies, that's going to mean that that Rov, you're not allowed to rely on the Rov, that most times it's a 9-month pregnancy. Amalei Hachi Kamine, he said, no, what I meant to say is as follows. Rov Nashim Yoldon Letisha, you're right, the majority of women have normal 9-month pregnancies. Umiyot l'shiva, but there is a reasonable minority that have 7-month pregnancies. But the v'kala yaledis l'tisha uber nikar l'shlish yameha. When a woman has a 9-month pregnancy, the pregnancy progresses in a normal fashion so that 1/3 of the way through the pregnancy, you can tell that she's pregnant. But a 7-month pregnancy is a totally different mahalich, and therefore, 1/3 of the way through, you cannot tell she's pregnant. So zu, hold l'hukar ubra l'shlish yameha, over here, there was obviously they weren't able to tell she was pregnant. That's why we don't know what happened. The guy did yibum on her. He had no idea she was pregnant, but then she had a baby 7 months later. So we don't know. We don't know whether she was pregnant or not. So maybe itrele ruba, that ruins the rov, because you're right, rov women have a 9-month pregnancy, but women who have a 7-month pregnancy, you wouldn't be able to tell that they're pregnant. And this woman, you couldn't tell that she's pregnant. So that maybe ruins the rov. So says Mari Yikali Aledis Letisha, Uber Nikolas Lushyameha, if that's always true, that every 9-month pregnancy, 1/3 of the way through, she pops a little, you're able to see. Well, if this woman, you couldn't tell that she was pregnant, doesn't that make it a vadai that she's in the minority, she's in the 7-month pregnancy camp? Ela'ema, what you have to say is, rov hayaledes letisha uber nikar l'shlish yameha. Different women, sometimes they'll have a woman even in a 9-month pregnancy, where you're not able to tell that she's pregnant after the first third of the pregnancy. It's only a majority that you're able to tell. And because by this woman you couldn't tell that she was pregnant 1/3 of the way through, so therefore there's a reyusa on the rov, but it doesn't make it a vadai 7-month pregnancy. It's a reyusa on the rov, and therefore it's a suffik, and that's why they both have to bring a karban asham talui. Then we said in the Mishnah that by a suffik ben tishah l'rishon, suffik ben shiva l'achron, the vlad is for sure going to be kosher. So Tanu Rabbanan, we have a brisa, a rishon roi lios kohen gadol. The vlad, this baby, could become the kohen gadol. He's kosher mimanavshuch. So there's no problem with the zichus whatsoever. What if this couple stays together though, and they have a second child? So now this second child might be a mamzer. Because if the first child really belonged to the deceased brother, then this was an erva and the child is a mamzer. Or this child might be perfectly kosher and there's nothing wrong with him. So v'sheni mamzer misafik. The second one is considered mamzer misafik. Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov Amar ain mamzer misafik. That he's not a mamzer misafik. So what exactly does that mean? What does it mean that he is a mamzer misafik? What does Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov mean that he's not a mamzer misafik? So Maika Amar, how could Rabbi Elazar hold that the second son is not even a safik mamzer? So Amar Rabbi Hachi Kamar. No, what the Tanakhama means to say is Rishon Roi Lios Kohen Gadol. First child could be the Kohen Gadol, no problem with the Zichus. The Sheni Safek Mamzer. The second child is a Safek Mamzer, and therefore, V'asr B'Mamzeres. Because he's a Safek Mamzer, he's not allowed to marry a Kosher, obviously. He's not allowed to marry a Kshera, because he might be a Mamzer. He's not even allowed to marry a Mamzeres, because he might be a Kosher. Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov Omer, Eino Safek Mamzer, Ela Vadei Mamzer, Mutter B'Mamzeres. Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov says, no, he has a din of a Vadei Mamzer, and therefore he's Mutter B'Mamzeres, because Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov holds that a suffik mamzer is allowed to marry a vadai mamzeres, and therefore he says, even though in a chinami he's a suffik mamzer, we treat him like a vadai mamzer, so he's allowed to get married to a mamzeres. Rava Amar, Rava says, no, that's not how to touch up the machlokas.
Hachi kamar. Here's how to understand the machlokas. Rishon roi lios kohen gadol. Certainly the first child can be a kohen gadol. There's no problem with his yichus. Visheni mamzer vadai misafek. Then the second child we treat like a mamzer vadai because he's a safek mamzer. And the Tanakhama is the one that's saying that a safek mamzer is treated like a vadai mamzer. Umutar b'mamzeres. And therefore he's allowed to marry mamzeres. And it's Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov omer ein vadai mamzer misafek al a safek mamzer also b'mamzeres. Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov is saying that no, he has the status of a Suffolk Mamzer, and therefore he's not allowed to marry a Mamzeres. So the Machlokas, and how to, between Abaye and Rabba, and how to understand the Machlokas, same two opinions, just a question of who holds which. That the second child is either has the din of a Suffolk Mamzer, or he has the din of a Vade Mamzer, but it's a question which one is the opinion of Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov. The Kamiflgi with Rabbi Elazar, Abaye and Rabba that are, who argue whether Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov is the one that's Matir, a Suffolk Mamzer, to marry a Mamzeres. Or is the one that answers it, are arguing what Reb Lazar, within the sheet of Reb Lazar in this din, that the Gemara is going to bring to be Mekel, whether the halacha is like him or not. So based on that machlokas, then they try to fit in, each one tries to fit Reb Lazar ben Yaakov into their shita, because everyone apparently holds that we paskin like Reb Lazar ben Yaakov, because there's a klal in halacha that you paskin like Reb Lazar ben Yaakov, because mishnaso kav v'naki, Reb Lazar ben Yaakov doesn't speak up that often in Shas, so when he does, he's certain of his Shita, and therefore we paskin like Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov. So if you paskin like Rabbi Elazar, you're going to be goreis Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov in a way that fits with Rabbi Elazar. And if you're cholik on Rabbi Elazar, you'll be goreis that Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov is cholik on Rabbi Elazar, meaning you're going to want to say that Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov holds what you hold the halacha is. Ditnan, so what's the Rabbi Elazar that they argue about? Rabbi Elazar Omer, we have a Mishnah Mesachas Kiddushin. The Rabbi Elazar holds when it comes to psulei kal, vada'an bivada'an mutter. Someone who's a vada'i mamzer is allowed to marry a vada'i mamzeres. Right? When you have different psulei kal and you know exactly what they are, they're allowed to marry each other. Vada'an bisveikan, sveikan bivada'an, sveikan bisveikan, asr. But if you throw in a suffix with a vada'i, or a vada'i with a suffix, or a suffix with a suffix, they're going to be asr to marry each other. Even a suffix with a suffix is asr to marry each other, because one of them might, yes, be a psul kal, the other one might not be a psul kal. They're both sveikos. So they're both can be asr. Ve'elu ein sveikan. And what are cases of safek in terms of psulim? Shtuki, meaning you know who the mother is, but you don't know who the father is. And he's called the shtuki because whenever he calls someone daddy, the mother says, shh, you know, she quiets him down because you don't know that that's your father, nor does anybody else. Va'asufi. Asufi is a child that's found abandoned in the marketplace. And there's a chash that maybe the mother became pregnant from an adam pasul. Ve'kuti. Kuti is a safek mamzer because the kutim were not choshesh for the drushos chazal, and one of the drushos chazal is kicha kicha mistei Ephron, that you can be mekadesh anisha with kesef. So if someone is mekadesh anisha with kesef, they would let her marry somebody else without a get from the first guy because they weren't goreis kiddushi kesef bechlal. So you always have to worry about mamzerus. V'am Rabbi Dom Rav halacha Rabbi Elazar. Rabbi Dom Rav says that we paskin like Rabbi Elazar. The safek mamzer is not allowed to marry a vaday mamzer. And Kiyamis came to Shmuel, and when he said this in front of Shmuel, that we follow Reb Elazar, Amar Li, Shmuel said, Hillel Shona, Asari Yuchzin Olami Bavel, that Hillel taught that there were 10 levels of Yichus that came from Bavel Teretz Yisrael, and they are Kohani, Levi, Yisraeli, Chalali, those are Chalalim, Geri, Gerim, Charure, Avadim Shucharim, Mamzeri, Nesini, Nesini are the Givonim that were Megayir in the days of Yehoshua, and they have Tzad Abdus, because Yehoshua made them Chotvei, and Shtuki, who you don't know who the father is, Vasufi, who you gather in from the Shuk, Vukulan Mutar and Lovel Zebazah, and they're all allowed to marry each other. So if you hold that a Suffolk Mamzer is Mutter, that a Suffolk Mamzer is Mutter by a Suffolk Mamzer to marry a Suffolk Mamzer and a Vade Mamzeres, so you could explain what Hillel meant was that Kohanim Levim Yisraelim are all Mutter Zelazah. Levim Yisraelim, Chalalim, Gerim, and Meshucharim are all Mutar Zelazah. Gerim, Meshucharim, Mamzerim, Nesinim, Shtukim, Vasufim are also all Mutar Mezelzeh, meaning it can't be that all 10 are Mutar Mezelzeh. Because, you know, it's not, that's clearly not true, right? Yisraelim are not allowed to marry Mamzerim, right? That's obviously not true. But you could draw lines within those groups and say that this that there are groupings that are mutter with each other. So so you could say that Gerim and Meshucharim and Mamzerim and Nesinim and Shtukim and Asufim are all all mutter to each other, because kal gerim is loi kri kahal, so mamzerim are allowed to marry gerim. So va'at amrit, but you're saying halach Rav Lazar that all the sfeikos are also to each other, that a suffik mamzer is not allowed to marry a suffik mamzer, he's not allowed to marry a shtuki is not allowed to marry a shtuki is not allowed to marry a nasufi. All of these cases are cases of suffik. So it turns out that you have a machlokas, Rav and Shmuel, whether we paskin like Rav Lazar that a suffik mamzer is usher in a suffik mamzer, or and certainly whether he's usher to marry a vaday mamzer. So that machlokas, Rav and Shmuel, whether we paskin like Rav Lazar, can a suffik mamzer marry a vaday mamzer, is the very machlokas between Abaye and Rava. Do I want to say that Rav Lazar ben Yaakov holds that a suffik mamzer is allowed to marry a vaday mamzer, or do I not want to say that? It all depends what I hold the halacha is. So Abaye sub la kishmuel damar halacha kihilel. Abaye says like Shmuel that the halacha is like hilel, that a suffik mamzer is allowed to marry a suffik mamzer and is allowed to marry a vaday mamzer. Umukin, Rav Lazar ben Yaakov, libedilchsa. And therefore, the way he touches up the machlokas, Tanakam and Rav Lazar ben Yaakov, is that Rav Lazar ben Yaakov also holds that it's allowed. Kihechi, dilo tikshi, hilchsa, hilchsa. So that you won't have a stira in how we pass in the halacha. Rava sub la kirav, but Rava holds like Rav, damar halacha kirav yelazar, who says that a suffik mamzer is not allowed to marry even another suffik mamzer, and is certainly not allowed to marry a vaday mamzer. And therefore, umukil al Rav Lazar ben Yaakov, libid hilchsa. Therefore, he'll say that Rav Lazar ben Yaakov is saying, like me, that a suffik mamzer is not allowed to marry a mamzeres, ki echi dlo tikshi, hilchsa, hilchsa. Again, so that we don't have a stira in how we paskin the halacha. So I'm Rabbi Mina Aminala. How do I know this din, that the kol sveika, the Rav Lazar ben Yaakov, kivade mashkile, that every suffik mamzer automatically has the same din as a vaday mamzer? Where do I get this idea that if a person is a suffik mamzer, that they're allowed to marry a vaday mamzeres? Titania, because we have a braisa. Rav Lazar ben Yaakov Omer, Harei Shaba al Noshim Harbe. If a man is boel many women, Vein Yodei Alezo Man Ba, and he doesn't know which woman he was boel, V'cheini Shaba al Noshim Harbe, or a woman who's slept with many men, Vein Yodas, Meiz Men Kibla, she doesn't know which one she was pregnant from. Nimsa Av Noseyas Bito, V'ach Noseyas Achoso. It will really mess up families. No one's going to know who the father is, who the mother is. Everyone's going to, well, you always know who the mother is. No one's going to know who the father is, and it's going to turn out that a father's going to marry his own daughter, that a brother is going to marry his own sister. V'nismale kol olam kulo mamzerin, and the world will be full of mamzerim. V'alzen emar umala aretz zima. So wait a second, the world is going to be full of mamzerim? No, the world will be full of suffek mamzerim, right? The whole thing is only, you just don't know. You don't know who's who, so everything's going to be a suffek. So even though it's only a suffek of shema yisa esachoso, that a brother might marry a sister, still Rav Lazar ben Yaakov says, they're all mamzerim. So it sounds like he holds that suffek mamzerim are mamzerim. For Rava Amarlach, Rava would say that Rava, who thinks that Rav Lazar ben Yaakov does not treat a suffek mamzer like a vada mamzer, will say, that's not a raya. Hachi kama, what Rav Lazar ben Yaakov means to say is, zom. When he says molar zima, zima means zo mahi, that everything's a suffix, that we just don't know anything. But he doesn't mean to say that the world is full of vaday mamzerim. He means the world is going to be full of suffix mamzerim, but it's actually treated like a suffix. It's not treated like a vaday. The Brisa then goes on to say, so each one could fit Rav Lazar ben Yaakov to say what they want, but the Brisa goes on to say, Yasser al Kain Amar Rav Lazar ben Yaakov. Rav Lazar ben Yaakov says that even if the couple gets married, they still were gozer not to do this, because you could still lead to a michshal. Meaning, lo yisa adam isha, meaning don't marry multiple wives. Lo yisa adam isha b'medina zu, even with nisuin, even if it's not just zima, it's not just that people are sleeping with different people, they're getting married. Still, lo yisa adam isha b'medina zu, v'yelich v'yisa isha b'medina acheres. One should not marry one woman in one place and then go marry another woman in another place. Why? Shami is dav gazel zevenim sachnal seyasacho. So he might have a son in one place, a daughter in another place. The two families don't even know each other at all. His two families in two different places don't know each other at all. It ends up in shiduchim. They all, someone says, oh, I was in the seminary in Eretz Yisrael with this girl. She's just like you. I will be a perfect match. Of course she's just like him. They have the same father. So they're going to end up, they're going to marry. A brother and a sister are going to get married to each other. So that's going to be tragic. Beis Meir points out, why is this only when you're marrying two women at the same time? Shouldn't you have the same problem if you lived in one community and you were married, and then Rahman al-Tzlan, a person became an alman, or he got divorced? So shouldn't he not be allowed to move to another community and get married? Shouldn't she have the same concern? He's going to move to another community, get married there, and they're not going to know each other. So the Beis Meir says, no, if Mesa, Ishto, or Girsha, then there's no Isser, because B'derech Klal, when someone, he still has a relationship with the other children, so the other children are going to come with him, they're going to come visit, it's not going to be like that. But if he's maintaining two families at the same time, he's probably not mingling those families with each other. That's going to be where it's more of a concern. The Aruch HaShulchan writes that Lo Shamanu, that people are careful about this, because B'zmanenu, there's mail, and the postal service is so lightning quick, and that people are able to find out right away what's going on the other side of the world. So it's Rachok Me'amitziyu, says the Aruch HaShulchan, that a father in a different Medina is not going to constantly be receiving letters from his children that he left in another place. So the banim that are born in the other Medina are not going to, it's not going to be a secret. Everyone is going to know. Okay, so for that, we never heard of any such issur when a marriage is over, that you're allowed to get remarried and move it to a different place. That for sure you're allowed to do. But the Mishnah is saying, don't maintain two marriages simultaneously in two different places. So, Eini, is that really true that Rechoshesh not to maintain another marriage? Va'rav, ki ikla l'dardashir, when Rav would go to a place called Dardashir, apparently he went there frequently, Machruz va'amar, he would make an announcement, Man havi liyoma, who would like to be my wife for a day? V'rav Nachman, ki ikla l'shchansiv, and when Rav Nachman would go to a place called Shchansiv, Machruz va'amar, he would say, Man havi liyoma, if anyone would like to be my wife for a day. So apparently they weren't choshesh for this concern of Shem Yisa achas achoso. Says, well, no, Shaini Rabbanan to Pekiya Shemayu. The Rabbanan are different, because everyone knows when a big rabbi comes and he gets married, so everyone's going to know that he was married, everyone's going to know who his wife was in that place, so no one is going to, it's not going to leave, with big rabbinic families, you're not worried that a brother's going to marry a sister. So that's why in that case it was permissible. Ask the Gemara, but wait a second, the whole system is a little bit strange. What did they do? They said, who's going to marry me for the day? I mean, apparently the point is that they didn't want to be without a wife. They wanted to satisfy the Yetzer Hara or whatever, that they should have pas pasalo, that they should be together with a woman. But still, how can you propose marriage and be married to somebody on the same day? That if you ask a woman to marry you, probably make a proposal that she marries you, and she agrees, she's going to need shivanakim, she's going to need to go to the mikvah. There's something called dam chimud, that when there is that excitement of now discovering that you're going to get married, there's an assumption that a woman bleeds a little bit as a result of that excitement, and therefore she's going to need shivanakim. So he shows up for one day, he says, who's going to be my wife today? First woman who volunteers should be in need to write on the spot, and should need shivanakim before they can get remarried. This shayla of dam chimud, you would think, doesn't come up all that much. So it doesn't come up. It's a shayla with older people post-menopause or whatever. So they get married, dam chimud has nothing to do with regular dam, so it has nothing to do with the regular cycle. So we may have to be choshev dam chimud in those cases. We had cases at the beginning, at the very beginning of COVID, before we were before I remember the first Thursday night after Purim, before anything was shut down, I was supposed to be Masada Kiddushin at a Talmud's wedding that Sunday night, and the father called me up on that Wednesday and said, my son is getting married tomorrow. I'm telling you, the city's going to shut down, we're not going to be able to have a wedding, so we're moving the wedding, we're doing it tomorrow night. So this is a shayla of dam chimud, right? The girl thought she was getting married on Sunday. Now you're telling her she's getting married on a few days earlier. So maybe that's a dam chimud issue. You're changing the date of the wedding. So he said, I never heard of dam chimud. They're getting married tomorrow. So Baruch Hashem, Rabbi Willig was making that it's not dam chimud, because it's only a change of the date of the wedding. But she had already agreed to the wedding. It wasn't that she just discovered that she's getting married. But these shaylas come up sometimes. So the Gemara says, aren't you worried about dam chimur? Rabbanu Shulchayu Avim Shadu Modilu. No, they would send an advanced scout team, you know, a week in advance to propose marriage, and someone would agree, and then she would sit shivanakim and she'd go to the mikvah. Or it could be that the Rabbanu didn't actually have bia with them, they would just have yichud with them. They just wanted to create a situation where where they had a psychologically pas besalo, that they knew that they had a wife if they had taivas, but not that they would actually sleep with these women. Tanur, Rablazim ben Yaakov Omer, lo yisah the mishto v'dayta legarsha. Rablazim ben Yaakov says, a person should not marry a woman with the plan to divorce her. Mishum shenemar, al tachma shal riach ra'a v'u yoshev levetach itach. That he's trusting that she's trusting that everything, that he's going to stay with her, and he has no plan of staying with her, so that's not a nice thing to do. The Torah writes a person should not marry a woman v'dayta legarsha, and the Torah quotes the Rambam. But if he lets her know that he's only planning on marrying her for a short period of time, then it's going to be mutter. So Beis Yosef says, why do you need to quote a Rambam like that? That's beferish in the Gemara like that. That the Rav did that and Rav Nachman did that. That who wants to be my wife for a day? And apparently they were allowed to do that. So it's strange that he quotes it from a Rambam and doesn't just stam say it, that you're allowed to do that. Okay, so the Drisha says not a raya from Rav and Rav Nachman, because it could be that their announcement of Man Havil Yoma, they were asking I forgot what his answer was, but they only did it in those places, in those locations where they were frequent visitors. They didn't do it in every other place, whatever it might be. The Chassam Sofer says that the Rambam is being mechadesh that even if he tells the woman that title the Garsha, and she thinks that, no, you think you want to be Megarish me, but I'm telling you, once you're married to me for a couple of days, you're never going to want to leave me. So, but he says, no, I really will. I'm going to be Megarish you after a day or two. So even if he gives the impression that Daita Legarsha, it's still usher to do, even if she doesn't believe it. So now we get into the cases of Sveikos when it comes to Yerusha. So let's say you have a Suffolk, the person who's a child, who's a suffolk, whether he's a child of the deceased husband or a child of the living husband, the yavam, and the actual yavam, the brother, the living brother, shabol lachlok b'nichse misna. They come to divide the estate of the deceased brother. Suffolk amar anabar misnahu. So the suffolk says, I'm the son of the deceased brother, and therefore b'nichse didihu. The entire estate belongs to me. Yavam amar adpray didiat. And the yavam says, no, you're my child. V'leslach v'lomidi b'nichse. And therefore you aren't entitled to any of the nechasim of my deceased brother. I yarshin him. When I die, you could yarshin me, but you're my child. So the halacha is, it's mamna mutl b'safik, and the halacha is, you split when it's mamna mutl b'safik. You divide the money between the two of them. Now the Gemara has a safik, in a case where the yavam dies before they split the nechasim, and the yavam has other children as well, so how do they divide the nechasim among the children of the yavam? So safek ubnei yavam. Let's say you have that original safek, the one who was a safek that he might be the child of the deceased brother, or he might be the child of the yavam. And now the yavam had other children, and the yavam died, so there are other children that want to come. Shabbo lachlok b'nichse misna, that come to divide the estate of the original deceased brother. So safek amarahu gavra bar misnahu. The safek says, look, I'm the son of the deceased brother, and therefore your father should not have yarshined my father at all, and all the nechasim are mine. B'nei Yavam amri atachinuat, and the B'nei Yavam say, no, you're our brother. Umansu di islam badan, and therefore you just have a fair portion together with the rest of us. So Sav Rabban Kamedra of Misharshi the Maimah, the Rabban thought to say, Masnisani, that this is exactly the same din that we have in the Mishnah later on in this Masechta Ditnan, because the Mishnah tells us that a woman who doesn't wait 3 months and she gets after her previous marriage and she gets remarried and when it has a child and we don't know who the child belongs to, and she has other children as well, who ainu yarish hosam? The suffolk ben is not going to yarshin them, because each of the brothers can say meaning each of the sets of brothers, the brothers from the original marriage can say, you're not one of us, you belong to the second marriage, and the brothers from the second marriage can say, you're not one of us, you belong to the first marriage. But vehem yarshin so, but they yarshin the suffolk, because after he dies, so these are the only options, these two families. So all of the brothers from the first husband, all of the brothers from the second husband, can split the Yerusha. V'hacha, and over here by the Suffolk and the B'nei Yavam that come to split the Nechasim of the deceased brother, Ibcha would say the opposite. So Hasam, in the case in the Mishnah, the brothers from the first family, the children from the first family, and the children from the second family are Yarshim Vaday Samrile, I see Rayu Shkol. They could tell the Safek, you bring a Raya that you're our brother, and then you could share Yerusha with us. You can't bring a Raya, and therefore you can't share the Yerusha. But Hach over here, the Safek is the Vaday Yoresh. He knows for sure that he's Yoresh something. Samalahu, he could say to the Bnei Hayavam, who are all Safek Yarshim, Aisu Raya Ushkulu, you bring a Raya that you should get a Yerusha, and then you could take Yerusha. Samalu Rav Misharshia, Rav Misharshia said, no, me dummy. You can't compare the two cases. Hasam Inu Vaday. In that case, in the Mishnah, the Bnei Arishon and the Bnei Asheni are certainly Yarshim, the Iu Safek, and he is a Safek. But Hacha Idivi Safek. Over here, nobody's a Vaday anything. Everybody's a Safek, meaning even the Safek Ben Shiva, Ben Tisha, the Safek, whether he's the son of the deceased or not the son of the deceased, he may be vaday that he gets some portion of Yerusha, but he has no idea why. He doesn't know if he's getting the Yerusha as a result of the deceased brother, or he's getting Yerusha as a result of the surviving brother. Ela idamya, if you're going to compare it to Masnisin, lahadamya, the Safik of Bnei Yavam, Shabo Lachluk Benichse Yavam Gufen. Compare it to the Safik guy and the Bnei Yavam that come to split the Nechasim of the Yavam, of the surviving brother. Tasim Amile, I see Raya Dachuna Atushkol. In that case, they could say, bring a Raya that you're our brother, and then you'll be able to take the Yerusha. Okay, Be'ez Hashem, we'll pick up in more cases of Yerusha tomorrow. Have a great day, everybody.